From Illinois Public Media News, this is 217 Today. I'm Stephanie Mosqueda. It's Friday, June 7th. Coming up, bird flu continues to spread, but scientists worry that states are not testing enough to know the extent of it. That story in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. The long overdue farm bill is finally making its way through Congress after the House Agriculture Committee recently advanced a proposal. Harvest Public Media's Elizabeth Rambert reports food assistance has been one of the biggest sticking points.
More than 41 million Americans rely on the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program monthly to put food on the table. The program takes a lot of funding. About 80% of the Farm Bill's massive budget goes to SNAP. In the House Farm Bill proposal, Republicans suggest placing limits on how the benefits are calculated. Megan Hammon is a community organizer with Nebraska Appleseed. She says the limits would take about $30 billion out of the program over the next 10 years.
So while families wouldn't see their SNAP benefits go down in an immediate sense, their SNAP benefits would be increasingly less efficient as time goes on.
Hammon says she's hoping the Senate's Farm Bill proposal can find support, which would increase eligibility for SNAP, among other things. I'm Elizabeth Rembert, Harvest Public Media.
Green Party presidential hopeful Jill Stein visited Champaign-Urbana yesterday to stump with a local congressional candidate. Stein says the locals she talked with brought up Israel's war in Gaza more than any other issue. She says if elected, she would stop the transfer of weapons to Israel until they end, quote, the ethnic cleansing, the occupation, and the apartheid state of government.
Biden will not draw a red line. You know, he said he would draw a red line in Rafah, and then he didn't. He said he would draw a red line if U.S. weapons were used in Rafah. We know that they are. They are being used to murder civilians and children in Rafah.
Stein says she is collecting signatures to get on the November ballot in Illinois. The filing deadline for third-party candidates is June 24th. One effort to change how the Illinois Prisoner Review Board handles medical release hearings made its way to the Illinois House, but it didn't pass the Senate before adjournment in May. Capital News Illinois reports the bill would clarify a petitioner's rights during medical release hearings and require the PRB to publish a decision letter outlining the reasons for denial. The bill previously passed the House 72-34 in April, but was never assigned to a substantive committee in the state Senate. It stalled alongside another major change to the PRB. That measure would have subjected case hearings to open meeting laws, mandated more training, and created a task force to oversee the board. Illinois Secretary of State Alexi Giannoulias announced yesterday that Illinois would be awarding $2 million to underserved Illinois public libraries, including in Danville and Decatur. The fund could be used for expanding their online collections, purchasing mobile apps, accommodating their service for persons with disabilities, and more. Giannoulias says libraries must be able to modernize with their communities to better assist them.
Even at times in the pandemic when physical libraries were closed, they loaned ebooks, CDs, and digital movies. More recently, computer labs at public libraries have become a true lifeline for people applying for jobs and doing their first Zoom interviews.
Giannoulias says 113 Illinois public libraries are eligible for this grant. The Danville Public Library will get $27,500. The spokesperson says they will use the money to upgrade the staff and patron computers. Still to come, bird flu continues to spread, but scientists worry that states are not testing enough to know the extent of it. That story is coming up next on 217 Today.
Hope in the Water explores the groundbreaking work of fishers, aqua farmers, and scientists who are attempting what was once thought impossible: harvesting aquatic species to feed our growing planet while saving our oceans. Featuring environmental enthusiasts Shailene Woodley, Martha Stewart, Baratunde Thurston, and Jose Andreas, the three-part series takes a deep dive into the breakthrough science of blue food technology. Hope in the Water will be available to stream with the free PBS app beginning the night of its broadcast premiere on June 19th.
You're listening to 217 Today. I'm Stephanie Mosqueda. Bird flu has been found in dairy cows for the first time across 9 states, some in the Midwest. Health experts worry the virus's new proximity to humans increases the chances it will turn into a human virus. We are clearly not there yet. The risk still remains low. But Side Effects Public Media's Ben Thorpe reports, public health experts in the agricultural industry may not be on the same page about the urgency of responding to the virus.
Around 150 cows graze idly at Purdue University Dairy's big open barn in Indiana. Visitors have to put on blue booties to cover their feet. It's one typical measure to keep diseases from leaving the dairy on a visitor's shoe. But what is new is a sign-in sheet at the dairy's entrance, which includes a column titled Date of Last Contact with Cattle.
This would give us an ability to track that a little bit. That's right. So
Thomas Cully manages Purdue's dairy unit. He says the farm has also placed owl scarecrows and noise cannons to scare off birds potentially infected with the bird flu, or H5N1.
Yeah, the big unknown is how long will this last, and will it die out after this year and it's history after that for a generation, or will this be back every year? You know, is this going to be our seasonal flu that we have every year now? I don't know.
Across the country, health experts and policymakers have been scrambling to respond to the virus, exploring everything from additional PPE for dairy workers to the beginnings of vaccine development. This year, there have been 3 cases of bird flu in humans. The first 2 in dairy workers showed up as pink eye or conjunctivitis. But the 3rd case in Michigan was different. It included respiratory symptoms. Scientists say that increases their concern.
Now, I think if we're going to have a pandemic of H5 in humans, it's unlikely to be a conjunctivitis pandemic. It's going to be respiratory.
This is Richard Webby. He's a virologist at St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital in Tennessee. He says a respiratory virus could spread more easily from human to human.
Every time we give this virus more opportunities to change, and by that I mean give it more opportunities to replicate in more people or replicate in more different types of animals, it does change it. But right now, the risk to human health is still low.
Some experts suspect there are more cases, both human and cow, that aren't being caught. The problem is that some states are not looking for the virus, experts say. In Indiana, agricultural officials say they won't start monitoring dairy workers for bird flu until the first cow infection is confirmed in the state. Denise Darrow Spears is with the Indiana State Board of Animal Health. She says if cow infections are confirmed in the state, it could mean a financial hit.
It turns into extra limitations or resistance to byproducts that originated in Indiana just because one farm was found here, but we have 698 others. So it could be an economic disadvantage to producers if we find it in the state.
Spears also says that there is a concern that farmers may not want to self-report cases on their farms.
We're trying to communicate with them as much as we can and really be partners to them to assure them that we're going to work through this and get them to everything is fine as fast as we can.
Federal officials recently announced subsidies for farmers who lose milk due to the bird flu. It's one of several steps the feds are taking to help track the virus. But the different incentives are what worry Dr. Michael Osterholm. He's the director of the Center for Infectious Disease Research and Policy at the University of Minnesota. He says on the one hand, farms don't want to lose business or be looked at as getting people sick. But on the other hand, unchecked, the virus could pose an unprecedented risk to human health.
Yes, we have very different points of view in terms of what is critical right now. So none of these are, in a sense, the wrong perspective to have. But if one day this virus were to change sufficiently, it could kill lots of people. So now I have a real concern about what's going on in your farm.
For now, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says the risk to humans from the virus remains low. But the department asks states to ramp up their influenza surveillance over the summer to keep an eye out for the virus and how it's behaving. Ben Thorpe, Side Effects Public Media.
And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says it'll be sunny with a high of 82 degrees. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Stephanie Mosqueda. Reporting today contributed by Elizabeth Rembert, Jade Marceau, and Benjamin Thorpe. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again on Monday. Have a great weekend.